This is RevTech Podcast, where we discuss everything from business processes to measurement and technical alignment. The RevTech mission focuses on effectively managing and optimizing the go-to-market strategy through methodologies, tools, and best practices. We discuss the success criteria and technical fit guides for decision-making and ensure solutions align with the business goals. In this episode, our guest is Yogi Panjabi, the CEO of PeopleLens. It's great to have you on. Looking forward to this session.
Yeah, welcome. Awesome to have you. Let's dive right in, as we always do, and have an elevator pitch for what PeopleLens is.
Dimitris, Lizzie, delighted to be here. Really, really excited with the platform you're building and the efforts you're putting in to bring founders, bring revenue technologists out there into this world. I think the problem we are solving is best described by Marc Benioff. Last year, he came out and really said, like, hey, 96% of my revenues come from 50% of my rep. The other 50%, I don't quite know what's going wrong. Is it a manager thing? Is it a rep thing? Is it a skill thing? Is it a market thing? And that's essentially the problem we're solving. We're putting reps at the center and diagnosing their underperformance to help the managers coach and the reps perform.
I'm excited to see how you're solving that, because it is not an easy problem to solve. And there's many tools in the mix that say they can do that, whether it's, you know, Gong or other sales tools. So I'm very excited to see what the product is. Presumably, you've either run into this problem in the past elsewhere, but I want to hear a little bit about why you founded the company and kind of the story for getting started.
Yeah. So if we rewind about 5 years back, I was at Palo Alto Networks leading up people technology, people analytics teams. We were growing our portfolio. We were a firewall company at that point in time, but we were growing our portfolio, 17 acquisitions, 5 quarters, really rounding out our portfolio. Every acquisition was bring in the product team, bring in the engineering team, but for go-to-market, we'd lean on our homegrown reps. Everything was going quite well, you know, stock, revenue, growing at a nice clip. But in 2019, as we were wrapping up, we missed our numbers 2 quarters in a row. And we began to scratch our heads. What is really happening? We tried a bunch of different things, obviously, super, super team, more RevOps, more sales ops, more strategy consultants, more customer insights. We tried a bunch of different things and nothing seemed to work. At that point, we looked inward and began to put the lens on our people, our reps, our sales teams. And what we saw was that rep Mike, that AE, he had grown up as a firewall, as a box seller. He did hardware exceedingly well. He was now struggling in this new construct of SaaS and cloud. And so as we began to put the lens on him and help his manager, what we saw was Mike needed help with product knowledge, with consultative skills, with mindset. And those data sets sat well outside of the sales force or his activity machine. And so as we put the lens on the person inside the salesperson, PeopleLens was really born.
That's awesome. And so when did you, the company officially founded? Was it in 2019?
Or? It was in 21. So really, okay. That was in the midst of COVID, left Palo Alto and began to think through this problem a little more, began to pull a wonderful team of engineers as well as advisors, folks from the go-to-market side, folks from the technical side, and we got going in 2021.
Great. And what's been the kind of the financing journey of that, or what level are you at in terms of financing today?
Yeah, we're a seed stage company. As we began to chat with folks about the investment side of the house, what we saw was there was tremendous interest from the buyer persona. And so as we went out and spoke to, you know, friends in the VC community, they said, yeah, idea sounds good. And so as we tilted that to the buyer persona, sales leaders, RevOps leaders, CROs, CMOs. And so what we saw was there was just tremendous interest. And so we really used that energy to draw out our investment and to get going with the help of our buyer persona community. And that's been really the platform that we have leaned on and we continue to lean on. Some of those are becoming customers now. And again, we're fortunate to have that feedback, that energy, and that guidance from that community of investors and early champions.
Yeah, you guys moved quick through those series, which is super exciting. So you must have had some growth over the last couple of years. And it makes it, I think you're also hitting such a good inflection point of changes in the industry, right? Like for a while, companies could throw salespeople at a problem and there was enough money to do that. And as things have changed in terms of investment into SaaS, you need to be really strategic about the salespeople you have because you can't just throw more people at the problem. So it's the conflation of that is helpful, I'm assuming.
Indeed. So what we've seen is it took us a while to get the product piece right, to really tighten the AI models, to figure out, you know, who is that persona. And what we saw was that it really takes a few different personas inside a customer and bringing them together. So in our world, it's really unifying the world of RevOps, the enablement, and the world of sales leadership. As we bring those three folks in the room together, that's when the light bulb goes off and that's when the problem becomes even more realistic. Because what we are seeing is the data sets that each of those functions really use are slightly different, their dashboards are different, their view of the world is slightly different, but still they are solving for the same outcome. And so as we unify that, we align those three, the light bulb goes off, that's when we really move forward in a deal.
That's a very good point. I think I love the idea that you went with a broader team of consulting groups. You try to extract that information and how they actually collaborate because that's what you're helping with, right? You're trying to bring these teams together. And I think it's a good recipe for any other future inventor or entrepreneur that wants to build something in the go-to-market space. If you try to do this, you unlikely can do this only with one role. I think whatever you do on the one side is going to impact other side or a couple of other teams. And that's almost embedded in the nature of the problems that this group, broadly speaking, go-to-market is facing.
Totally. And we see that time and again, right? If you're not bringing in your colleagues from the world, if you're a sales leader, you're not bringing in your colleagues, it's really a slower conversation. The results may be mixed. And so what we found is we need a recipe to bring the three folks in the room together to move things really along.
Yeah, and sell to that committee as opposed to just the sales leader.
Yeah. I mean, I think people are... In every job, right? Whatever you do in life, your company always biased to your position. But the problem is usually affecting in different way to a different degree, different teams. So you don't want to leave anyone behind when you design the solution, right? You want to ensure that this is very inclusive and is solving for multiple areas at the same time, or it's not solving one side, but it's just jeopardizing the efforts on the other side, right? So that's a kind of tricky thing. If you go with a silo approach, right? And I think a lot of companies did, and then they quickly realized, okay, we got to expand because, you know, these guys don't like us.
Absolutely. Well, let's see this product. Let's dive into the demo.
So Yogi, what's going to be the use case?
Yeah, awesome. So as we think about what we just discussed, it takes a few personas to come together. What we have really built out is that people lens. In our case, the people or the person inside the salesperson, we have three lens. One is the exec who's out there sitting on top, really looking across teams, looking at their org really to understand the drivers that are impacting them, make sure that they are aligning the investments that they have against the pain points or against the underperforming area. So that's that exec lens. It surfaces those drivers. The second is what we're going to dive into is really the manager lens. And so you have a team of 7, 8, 9 folks, the managers out there, they know they have a few underperforming reps. Maybe half of their team is underperforming and they're scratching their head. They're a new manager. They don't quite know why that individual is struggling and how they can help them. And that's really what we're going to dive into. But the third lens is the rep lens. And that's the individual. That's the lens of the AE, the SDR, really understanding how they can make more, how they can close faster, how some of these insights can be applicable to their world. So jumping into a lens that we have here, we go into the manager lens. So Leila is this manager. This is Leila's leaderboard. As Leila looks at a few different outcomes, what she sees is her team is struggling against a couple of these. But let's dive into one specific one first. And so as she looks at her quota attainment first, she knows who's underperforming. She knows who's hitting the ball out of the park. But what we then help her with is, let's pick an individual. We'll pick Whitney here. Whitney is at 38% on her attainment, missing by a mile. On the other hand, we have Annabelle, who is really hitting it out of the park. Now, obviously, Leila knows all this. Whitney knows all this, but she doesn't quite know the why. So our models really scan through pretty much every rep touch point that Whitney has. Her calendar, her emails, her CRM, of course, but her enablement systems, her engagement systems. We're really bringing all those different rep touch points and then letting our models loose to identify the three underperforming drivers for Whitney. In this case, they happen to be really her Medpeak score, it's light, her activity or her follow-up with customers, her time allocation with customers. All of these have been identified by our models as the drivers for the lack of performance on Whitney's front. Now, what we really do is to help the manager and to make it precise, pointed, and focused for Whitney. We initiate this nudge that's really controlled by the manager. Manager reviews it. So really bringing that blend of AI with human curation. And the nudge goes by encouraging Whitney to identify that E in Medpeak earlier in the sales process, because folks that do that close at 15% higher. As the manager hits approve, all of this shows up in Whitney's lens, in Whitney's calendar, in Whitney's email, so that Whitney and her manager can begin to collaborate on where Whitney needs that help. And so that's really the manager lens. I can play out a couple of other scenarios and another example of a nudge, but we really bring those different data points. What we found here is that there is gold outside the CRM. And the why question is an important one for our customers and for our managers, particularly the folks who may be new in role, or you might have a new sales exec. This becomes really that answer. Otherwise, they seem to be struggling with, hey, here's my call insights coming from one of my conversation tools. Here is my Tableau dashboard. Here is my Salesforce report. And they're trying to look at those three pieces and paint a picture for what really is that message for that rep who's underperforming. We bring it together, serve that up as a nudge, and really help that manager and rep have a very informed one-on-one conversation driven by the insight that's coming through their data sets, their touch points.
So how prescriptive these actions are? I love the idea that you can pick one of the reasons, set it up, and it's more actionable. But I think the underlying problem always in the conversation with the individual will be, hey, how prescriptive you want me to be? You know, what are the kind of examples of actions that I want you to take on that day, on that week, that month, etc.? And how actually this connects to the goal? Because it, like you mentioned at the beginning, that gap is pretty big. Right. So narrowing this down, you know, might require more time or more intensity. Depends when you post the goal, right?
Totally. So great points. What we essentially focus on is starting with the outcome, right? It's really important to understand where is the individual struggling. It's not just, hey, you're not selling, or hey, you're not just closing. But it's really important to do that level of context setting. And so we have a few outcomes. Here it's deal size, quota attainment, win rate. It could be rep ramp. It could be by gen. And so we start with that context, start with that outcome, and begin to understand where there is a problem. Where does that individual struggle? And obviously, some folks struggle in one area. Their deal sizes may not be large. For some folks, it's really their win rate. And so it's important to start with that context. And then as we double click, as we let our models run, what we found that coaching conversations are really effective when they are had around one theme, around one topic. And that's needed. And our nudge is really intending to surface that to the top. What is the primary driver? I can go out and fix 10 things about myself, but over the next few weeks, what am I going to take the energy around with my manager and bring that, make that shine in my deals, in my conversations, in my week to week? And so really making sure that this nudge is not something that is tactical, that surfaces every day. Hey, go in and complete your sales force because this field is empty. Or hey, go out and pick up the phone and call this customer. It's really at an elevated level where we want to make sure that person is having a people-to-people conversation, a coaching conversation with this insight. And we then translate that into what does it mean in their day-to-day. For example, hey, if it's a partner-led organization, are my reps really reaching out to the partners? What's their calendar indicating? Are they spending that time with the partners, or is there a need to double down on that? And so we let the strategic insights surface and they make that actionable, to your point, at the deal level, really bringing that to bear in their calendar, in their text message. What we also really do is to take that home, to take that to the rep lens by beginning to track when did the rep play out that nudge and what was its impact on an outcome that they were struggling at. The outcome might come in 90 days for some folks. It might come slightly later. But being able to really do that full cycle is what we want to build out in this product and have that flywheel complete, because it's important to be able to take a rep, identify the insight, but see how that impacts their top line, how that moves the needle on an outcome that they were struggling at before this insight surfaced.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I see the value implementing this in kind of regular conversations. I like to have a one-on-ones as well with, you know, here's a specific metric and here are the bullet points we're going to talk about every single time, you know, how improving these things, et cetera, especially when you're in sales, I think it makes a lot of sense. So how this view would look like for executive and the individuals? Just out of curiosity, do you think we can just see that too?
Absolutely. At a high level, what that really does is, actually, let's go there. So,
putting him on the spot.
Well, you know me. I like to dig into these things.
Cynthia is that exec, and she can again pick the outcomes that are key for her. What People Lens does is it answers the question across her org: where are her investments, and where are the underperforming areas for her team? What we see is the top three drivers for her team happen to be four: quota attainment, the world of MedPick, time with customers, technical skills. And so as she sits down with RevOps or with strategy or with enablement teams and makes those investments, making sure that they align, and this is for quota attainment, she can look at this by a cohort and understand, like, hey, what are the individuals doing? What is the driver? Paul is a high-performing rep. Sheria is a high-performing rep. What is the underlying driver? And what are some of my underperformers really missing out on? Going cohort by cohort. Hey, Roberta's technical skills are light. We're a product organization. Should they be spending more time with product? Should they be spending more time building out their technical skills? Can we pair them up with an SE? Really beginning to look at outcomes that matter, but zooming it out at an org level and understanding the drivers of performance across his or her large team. In this case, Cynthia's team has a few different issues. And what we do is we surface that. And you can look at that at a rep level here, or you can also see the zoomed out view across that low performing cohort. The drivers that are impacting their performance happen to be time with customers, pipeline discipline, technical skills. Just making sure that at a high level, our priorities and our investments that we shape in the coming quarter are directed, are aligned with some of these. Of course, the manager piece is where the rubber hits the road and where these conversations get very specific with those individuals, with the nudges that we brought out. So that's the exec lens. There's much more to it, but the leaderboard showcases how this becomes real and how that insight really goes into the week-to-week planning or the quarter-to-quarter planning.
I have a question around, so obviously you have a bunch of integrations to be able to pull in this data.
Yeah.
Is like the RevOps team or their executives going in and setting what metrics should be? Or are you, at PeopleLens, are you analyzing all the data, looking at the top performers and then informing what everyone else should be doing?
Yeah, exactly. And so we're fortunate to have built out the models and the AI. And so we do the latter, right? Once we integrate the data sets, we let the models really guide us on what are the drivers, where is their attention needed. And what we found is, again, as I mentioned earlier, there's gold outside the CRM. The CRM is really, really, really good at measuring the quantity of activities, but not so much the quality of those activities. And so as we marry those data sets, as we integrate those pieces, there's a real opportunity to look at the quality. And that comes through, where is a rep allocating their time? What type of courses are they doing? How are the calls going? And really other data that sits outside the CRM. That's why it's so important to put that rep at the center and begin to serve them with every rep touch point, because they have a lot of them. So we think about the rep first as that person, and then as an employee, and then as a quota carrying entity, if you may. So the rep points go really enterprise-wide, stretching well beyond the sales force, stretching well beyond the world of go-to-market.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I also see this now. Yeah, everybody has a reps, right? Everybody has a CRM. Everyone is collecting data. But what is really difficult and time-consuming is to create the secret sauce that is extrapolating the right data and manipulates this in the way that, and probably this wrong word for that, manipulate, augment this to the point where actually this is insightful and that's what you solve for, right? Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And then, you do this in a kind of couple of clicks instead of days of work. Like someone would need to come in from the Salesforce admin and developer side and just, okay, write me a spec, write me this. 2 months later, I'm still in the same conversation. I lost a quarter, but I could use PeopleLens instead and stop fucking around. Sorry for my French, but that's how I feel.
And things change so much. Like what might be working in 1 year is not going to be working potentially the next year because the market changes, the product might change. Yeah. And so if you pay consultants to come in and do all this work, well, it might not even be relevant by the time you're able to implement it. And the other thing is often, you know, a CEO or someone will be like, here's our problem. We got to be making more calls. And you're like, is that the only thing we need to be doing? It's hard to really look at everything and figure out what's
spot
working
on.
Not. So that's great. I loved, because I was nervous. I was like, what if the inputs aren't the correct ones? What are, when you go and sell this and someone implements it, it sounds like they can ramp up pretty quick once the models learn and the tool is doing its job. But what are the outcome metrics that your buyers are focus on or that you ask them to focus on? Is it close one deals? Is it increasing performance? Like what's the key ones that you ask them to look at?
So going back to the product, we saw the manager lens with the nudges, making it really specific for the individual. We saw the exec lens where you zoom out and you see the broader org-wide pieces. To your point, Liz, what we do is let's jump into the rep lens. And so we speak the language that the corner office speaks for us. It's really the quota attainment, the win rate, the deal size, the sales cycle. Those are the pieces that matter. And as we pull up the rep lens, what we see is Phoenix can begin to see the bookings, the sales cycle, also see the active nudges, the nudges that came from the manager, guiding them on what really is their underperforming area. Here we can see the active nudges. What we then begin to see is the completed nudge. This is an example of that. The outcome here is quota attainment. And then we begin to track post-nudge. What did the outcome move by? This was when it got done. How did it move? Did it take 90 days? Obviously, some of these things take time to roll out, but the direction is key. And so the outcomes that we track are quota attainment, win rate, deal size, sales cycle, rep ramp, really starting with where a company is struggling. We're not the answer for all the problems. It's really, really important to get the model to focus on the problem that the company is currently struggling with. And to that point, what we see is we get the call, we get the customers to call back when they miss a number. The CRO makes a pretty vocal statement. You know, it's about rep productivity. It's about rep performance. And they're scratching their head. That's when we really begin to work with companies. They pull RevOps, they pull enablement together, and we begin to partner on what is that underlying driver. They want to shape the initiative. They want to lay out the foundation, but this begins to put that lens on where they should be putting their energies, where their managers should be putting their energies, particularly as they have those investments, they have those data sets, they have those tools out there. What we find is they continuously repeat this line, hey, you know, we live in a world which is data plenty, but is a insight famine in many ways. And particularly as you make those insights personalized, like why is Yogi struggling? That's the question we answer, and we're helping bunch of customers really get those insights to be personalized.
Yeah, I think this matters. Sometimes you might not have a clear picture, right? Like you see these conflicting messages in the data and you see the metrics. Okay, how I can be good in this and I suck here. If this is first before that occurs, right? So I think it's also a tool that can help to ask the questions, like you said, philosophical questions. Is our approach, you know, to whatever we do, right approach? If that's not a case, you probably should start reviewing what you have and start maybe rebuilding or completely, you know, abandon this and start from scratch, you know, going to square one in order to start having something that is more cohesive. It's more product fit connected. It's market connected and it has the right process that is just connecting the different teams that can work together. I found this very revealing in some of my projects or companies that I worked. There are just pieces that are just not connected, and they work when you look only from the perspective of that piece. And usually there's someone who is associated with that, and they take a pride and the kind of the stealing the thunder of entire team. Oh, I did it. Well, not exactly, right? Because even though you look good, these guys look really bad, and that's not what you want. So who do you sell this to? Like, what is your ICP? What is the go-to-market approach here?
Yeah, how many salespeople before it becomes impactful, essentially?
Yeah, so great, great question. We love to work with companies that have about 20 reps and up. That's when we see this becomes meaningful. They have the tech out there. They begin to lose touch with the ground reality. They begin to lose touch with that individual out there. And so we really shine in that 20-plus count. What we found is that it really takes the three personas to come together. And when we are able to bring RevOps, enablement, and sales leadership in the room together, the deal really moves. That's when the problem again shines and our lens becomes helpful to each of those three personas. particularly if it's the exec lens for the sales leaders, you know, for the RevOps leaders, it's again the exec lens. For the managers, we obviously have that lens. But more importantly, what we want to do is empower the reps. The reps have been sitting out of that equation. You know, if we go back to first principles briefly, is you have the product at the center, you have the customers on one side of the house, and then the reps on the other. Today, almost all the energy is around the customer. The CRM was built a few decades back with the focus on the customer. Rightfully so, that's what got us here. But what has happened is that the poor rep is sitting out of the equation. We want to bring them to the center, really serve them, serve their managers, and help them understand what are the drivers for their performance. Today, as we speak to a bunch of managers, what we repeatedly hear is the one-on-ones are around, hey, you're struggling with X, you're struggling with your Coda team. These are the 20 things that I did, or these are the best practices, or this is one anecdotal input from your Gong call. And that is not the most helpful piece of insight for the rep who knows they're struggling, who needs the help, who's open to coaching. Yeah. This becomes that vehicle to have an effective one-on-one between the manager and the rep. And so going back to the question, we sell into the 20 plus organizations, largely mid-market organizations. And what we found is that when some of these become really clear, when there is a earnings miss, so when there is a outcome that is really hitting the organization as a whole, we get called in to understand the underlying drivers, begin to start with a team. We start with a proof of value. And that really is our go-to-market motion. You know, it's not about going out there and starting with a subscription model or turning it on. We want to make sure that companies see the value. We jointly estimate the ROI. We do these pilots or proof of value, as we like to think of them in our mind. And we run that for about 30 to 60 days. We begin to prove it out. We shape that ROI together. We pick a few underperforming managers and their teams, and we look at before, after. And that's when it becomes really clear on the kinds of insights that every individual needs, particularly the underperformers. As we surface that, that case becomes really clear. At the end of the day, we are here to help reps grow as opposed to letting them go. And so that's what we see.
There's no better way, I think, to sell a product than doing like a proof of concept, proof of value. It's like you're going to see the results, and that makes it a lot easier to invest in and avoid all of the upfront needs to get that approval and buy-in. I also just love how it's focused on the person. I think oftentimes people who are in sales manager roles were previously salespeople, and salespeople are very focused on metrics and tactics and numbers. And ultimately, like, one salesperson could be doing something completely different than another, not completely, but have a much different approach than another person on that team. And both are still successful, or two different things and they're unsuccessful. And so focusing on that individual person and saying, here are the things you in particular need to do, I think is great to be able to be that manager who's used to focusing on their own numbers and their own way of doing things to coach people underneath them. So I think this is a unique approach to it. And with that, I'm kind of curious who you go up against in terms of competitors. I'm sure a lot of it is fighting the status quo of like, well, no, we know how to do this. But are there any direct competitors that you run into?
Absolutely. You know, this is in our mind, it's a emerging category. I don't quite know where this fits broadly, but the kind of competitors that we see or the tools that we see our current customers use or have tried. One is really the world of dashboards. So a BI tool, could be Looker, could be Tableau, and they use that. What we found is that managers really struggle with deriving the insight. They are amazing sellers, but they're not the most savvy data analysts, and they need that help. Like, they struggle. Okay, now I'm supposed to connect this dot with this conversation and make it relevant to this individual. We really want to just make it easy for them and surface what matters. So one is that BI tool category. The second is there are, you know, a few companies, and we respect a lot of them, you know, but they started and they are thriving around Salesforce and becoming the dashboard for Salesforce. Mm-hmm. So they plug it in, and then they are the activity machine. They are really black, and they make it black and white for how many calls, how many emails, what did a rep do? Hey, how many meetings booked? That's the week, and it's coin operated. That's the philosophy they run with. We like to zoom out a little bit. And so we start with that Salesforce, but really going beyond that world, going into the world of org, the calendar, the email, the enablement systems, the engagement systems, surfacing those different pieces and going away from this dashboard piece. Again, what we found is that the conversation between the manager and the rep needs to be a human to human conversation, a person to person conversation. And it's when you're beginning to look at a dashboard, you lose sight. One end of you is like, hey, I got to wear my analyst hat on. The other is I've got to wear my coaching hat on and my manager hat on. And so what we found is that the nudge is the vehicle to most effectively deliver that while surfacing the precise insight and not being lost in the mixed messages that might emerge from a dashboard. And so that's really the set of competitors that we see out there. What we really see is three differentiators. One is going beyond the CRM as a vehicle for understanding the rep and understanding where they struggle. Two is going beyond this dashboard and into the world of nudges. And then three is just bringing the same essence of intelligent insights that we have done for the last few decades to the corner office. We've served the corner office with the best insights, with smartest minds, really delivered in a way that they can consume it. You want to bring that same level of insight to every individual out there on the front line, because we live in a world where it's become possible with the technology, with the AI, and really it's our focus to bring that to every rep on the front line.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I think from my experience, when I think about the sellers and the managers that are managing sellers, they want to deal with the two things. The one is to quickly understand what's the root cause, which is solved for. And the second is operationalize everything right away. Anything else, they don't care about, right? Of course, all these things leading to quota attainment, which they care about. Of course, they do. So I won't deny that. But I think these are the things that they tactically care about. Anything that is just time consuming, it's going to take me time to configure, it's going to take me time to pull the chart, you know, all of this. That's not really what's helping them, right? Another thing is, I maybe understand these metrics, I maybe understand somewhat how the computation works, somewhat. But I need to operationalize this. So how am I going to do this? And that is, there has to be something that is prescriptive, that is giving them a path. These are the things we're going to do. This is how frequently we're going to do them, and so on and so on. Because there's no time for anything else when you're selling, right? You would rather spend time picking up the phone and calling your customers or your prospects than doing any of the other stuff, right? You can't blame them. If you are opportunistic sales, well, that's what you should be, right? Like, this is your job. You should be opportunistic. So to your point about like, hey, we're going to solve for that, and we have the secret sauce behind us helping them to remove that piece and focus on really what matters. That's, I think, it's a compelling thing. But I also think about the market right now. Market is right for you right now. I mean, there's a lot of people that are missing a quarter or quarters. How do you see that?
Totally, totally. I think that's really coming through. It's out there in public information. Last we looked, 80% of the reps missed numbers. you know, a good chunk of SaaS or tech companies miss, which is really where we where we shine and where we are helping a bunch of customers. And all of this is visible. It's out there in their earnings calls. That's when we begin to help. What we've seen is our POV or our proof of value begins to, in a very short span of time, diagnose those drivers and make the business case. And so one example to highlight is we saw as we looked in, it was a multi-product company and they were selling, 80% of the reps were selling really the core product, not the second, not the third product line. And so that showed up in the deal sizes. And as we connected the dots, we began to see, you know, who's pitching which product. And together with the leadership, set the right enablement motion in play, the right level of trainings, the right level of consultative skills to bring that second and third. And as the company began to focus on that, it really began to show up pretty quickly in the next quarter, like how my deal size is trending based on some of the insights and some of that actionability that we brought to bear. So I think there's a real opportunity to help reps. You know, we can make decisions today. The most expensive math in sales is to let a rep go. And, you know, if you put that math together, it's about 18 months of spend. By the time you bring a rep in, let them go in 3 to 6 months. And there's an opportunity to wear that human hat for a second. Think about the finances and the CFO's world to go with that human hat. And then the math leads us to, we have to find a way to help our reps grow. And that's really, again, our mission. Our mission is to make every rep perform, obviously the folks that want to. What we see is the real opportunity and where we can make that come to light pretty quickly is focusing on in the bell curve of performance, the P's. And there's a massive B pool out there. As we help the B's go to A's, it translates in the top line. And that's what we focus on as we go in. It's about making sure that as companies have those misses, we're out there partnering with them, being their thought partner, helping the managers, helping the execs stay on top of what this is. And at the end of the day, our mission is to just make every rep slightly better and to make every manager that better coach.
Yeah.
And that's what this facilitates.
Absolutely. I'm curious what's next on the product roadmap side. And my mind, I'm like, ooh, this is such an interesting thing for partner-led sales because I oversee our partnership
team. Just slightly bias here a little bit.
Or like product feedback, right? Like there's so many different insights that could come out of this and like diagnosing when deals are lost. But I'm curious for what's next on the roadmap for you guys.
Yeah, great question. So our vision on this, and we are super, super, super early in our journey, is as Benioff speaks about, you know, the customer and the customer 360, and that's one side of the equation. We think about the problem from the other side. We are really building out that rep and that rep 360. We want to help every rep lift their game. And for us to be able to do that, we need to understand the DNA, understand what gets them going, understand what gets them to perform, help their managers with where they are at, as opposed to telling them that's where you need to be. And so for us, it's really important to stay focused and build out that lens for them. For us, a rep could be an AE, it could be an SDR, it could be an SE, it could be someone in professional services. And so that's the path we are going down and building this out. But I think there's so much more that we can do to be in service of that rep who's today, frankly, sitting out of that equation. We want to bring them in, help their managers and the reps collaborate. And we're living in this beautiful world. Obviously, Gen AI is front and center. I think there's a massive opportunity to use that vehicle, but also to use the world of traditional AI, because what we found is in the world of people, and as you think about the person, what they need is precision. What they need is pointed insights. What they need is focus. And so we have to marry that world of Gen AI and traditional AI to bring that precision and to make sure we don't get carried away with the shiny tool and don't lose sight of that precision that's needed. Leave that human element in to curate it and let the manager become that better coach and let the rep shine. That's where we're going as we lean on our technology.
Your sales tool is probably a favorite when it comes to HR teams, which I don't think you can say about a lot of others sales tools with the focus on the people. And I think you said earlier, which is a quote I love, it's we're data flooded, but it's an insights famine. And I really think Gen AI is the shiny object, but like predictive AI and traditional AI is where you're going to get your most of your value today to really make sure you have those insights. And I'm curious to kind of hear your overall perspective on what's happening in the market with AI and what your thoughts are and how it will impact companies and where they should be focused.
Like most others, I'm a novice in this world and learning every day. I think, honestly, our consumer within us helps us paint the roadmap for where we need to go as enterprises. I think the train left the station late 22 when ChatGPT came out. And I think we are beginning to figure out how that plays out in the enterprise. I think this is just the beginning. So, you know, huge fan of a few companies such as Glean, beginning to figure out like, hey, where does the world of enterprise leverage Gen AI, particularly as you think about the individual, as you think about their role, as you think about making every individual better, faster, more thoughtful? You know, it took 3-4 people in a room to make things happen. And so as a founder, I experience that every day. If I have some of these pieces in my armory, I can make so much progress and do that fairly quickly and do that on my own. So I think Gen AI has a massive role to play. But I think it's important to not lose the human piece, number one. Number two is, as we look at a lot of the enterprise data, we need that precision. That consumer side might be fine with the breadth or with that range or with that text level of input. But as we go to the enterprise, it needs to shine. And so blending that world of Gen AI with the world of integrated, blending that world of structured so that it's not just text, but it's substantiated with the data to make that precise, you know, because I think if you have a conversation with the rep on, hey, you need to spend more time with customers. Okay, great. Got it. That is helpful. But if we can contextualize that, you know, which deals, what percentage of our time today is being spent on the calendar, marrying that up with the insight, making that personalized, making that precise. I think there's a lot that we can do. And that's really the world that we are trying to help paint together with our customers.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent perspective. And it's like, well, how am I supposed to spend time with customers? Like, do I need to take them out to drinks or do I need to be training them on the product or what is it and where and how do I spend my time? Otherwise, it's kind of pointless to even give that feedback without that precision, as you mentioned. So who are some other companies in the sales tech space or even outside of that that you think are doing some really cool things, potentially partners of yours or tools that you guys use?
So going back to partners, I think as we begin to figure out our world, we are living in an ecosystem where companies have a lot of systems today. They're using a lot of these tools. And the first response is like, oh no, another sales tool. And that's true. That's totally, totally true. And so then the next level of conversation is, are you using the data from any of these tools? And the answer is, yep, we use some of our call insights, you know, our managers plug in maybe a call a week sometimes, maybe two sometimes. We have our other data sets sitting here and we have a third sitting here. And they begin to quickly realize, yep, we're in tech consolidation mode. We want to have fewer tools. We really push harder on, are you bringing the insights from any of these? What is the insight that you could surface from these together? And so that's the lens that we take as we see a bunch of tech consolidation playing out in the industry. And we are building out our place where we speak to systems. We can become valuable when a company has systems out there. So in terms of partners, you know, we see a path to working with sales coaching firms as really a vehicle. They are struggling and their customers are struggling with some of this today. And they have those conversations largely in the classroom. We want to facilitate that classroom conversation with the insights from the front line and make those meaningful, make those, again, well-directed, go from that world to a one-to-many to a one-to-one. And I think as we marry up our capabilities with some of those folks, there's a real opportunity, again, to help that manager and ref live their personal game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the consulting angle of partnerships makes a ton of sense. I also think your like partnership-led growth for you would be really interesting, because if I'm using Gong, which our company does, and there's all these insights, but I'm not going to, at my level, I'm not logging in every single day to look at those insights. And they do a good job of sending an email. Essentially, Gong could say, well, if you get people lens, our data becomes much more insightful, right? You're a good add-on to many of the tools that exist in the market and to partner with it that way as well. All right, top three tips. What do you have for us for some tips for our listeners?
Yeah, I think, you know, as your listener population, I think is a mix of sales leaders, ref tech leaders, and perhaps founders. What I'd say is, again, advice I give myself, that's really the mode that I am in, is that reflection that comes through. And so I think it's number one, it's in our name. Focus on the people around you as we build out a team or we bring talent to the problem that we're trying to solve, making sure that the person and focus on the character, the chemistry, and then the competence. And so the people side of, whether it's advisors, whether it's investors, whether it's our teams, that's really key. Getting back to work can lead to serious magic. It's a reminder I give myself every morning. And I think I've learned so much about that in the last decade plus that's where I'm much more intentional. So that's one side. The two is, as we bring people in the room, in our case, it's RevOps, sales, and it's enablement. As we bring people in the room, we are able to zoom out and see with a lens that goes well beyond their current day-to-day and allows that collective group to focus on the enterprise lens or the company problem as opposed to their siloed view. And so bringing folks in the room, again, is a real good step towards alignment. And then three is really focusing on the moment, on the day. We have a lot of aspirations, but like my next call or yours is, how can we help the customer today where they're at? And so just be in that moment. And these are, again, principles I try to lead with, as I shared with you.
I love those.
Yeah.
They're good life lessons as well as work lessons.
Good principles. I agree.
Awesome. Well, hey, thank you so much for joining us today. It was awesome to learn more about PeopleLens and hear your perspective on the industry. So thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Yogi.
Absolutely. Really enjoyed it and excited to collaborate.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the RepTech Podcast. Please subscribe on the listening platform of your choice and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing.